And it's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi, brought to you in part by Vermont Victory Greenhouses and Gardener's Supply. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Well, you know me, I'm allergic to just about everything. So far, luckily, I have not ever run into this particular plant. Let's talk about poison ivy.
Yes, let's talk about poison ivy. I'm very impressed you've never had poison ivy.
It's because I never leave my house.
Well, that would be one way to not get poison ivy.
Yeah.
But it is a plant that a lot of people have problems with, even though there's about 10 to 15% of the population are immune to it. But most of us, once we get it, we get that itchy rash and the pus and all that stuff. And the chemical that causes all that, urushiol, is all over the plant. So it's not just the leaves, it's the stems, it's the roots, it's the seeds. All parts of the plant have this chemical. So that's why in the middle of the winter, if you go out there and say you're cleaning up the yard a little bit and you cut some roots or stems of poison ivy, you can still get it. But poison ivy gets a bad rap, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. It's actually a good plant. It's a native plant, and it's a plant that is a food source for deer and for insects. They eat the leaves, and the birds eat the berries. And also, because it's a vine, especially you've seen those big stems going up trees and have these vines of poison ivy, which have beautiful fall foliage. What they do on a forest, especially the edge of a forest, is they block the winds that blow through. So you won't get a lot of trees blowing down as much behind the poison ivy because it acts like a curtain. In some parts of the world, the vine itself is tapped like we do a maple tree, and they take the sap and they make a lacquer out of it for furniture finishing. If you do have poison ivy, though, in your yard, and it's in a place where you're walking a lot, then you might want to do something about it. You could try to mow it down repeatedly. That'll weaken it. You could try to cover it over with a tarp. But of course, you want to be really careful. If you're going to start pulling out roots, you want to wear gloves and long sleeve shirts and pants and boots and masks and all that kind of stuff. If you have those big stems that I was talking about, you can cut those off about a foot or two off the ground. And I usually don't recommend herbicides, but in this case, if you use a very specific herbicide for poison ivy and paint it right on the cut and then cover the cut with a cup, that'll translocate it down into the soil and kill the plant that way and not harm things around it. So that's kind of the safest way to use an herbicide in that case. Identify it too. Some people confuse it with other plants. It's the old leaves of three, let them be kind of thing. But sometimes it doesn't do that. Sometimes the leaves are small, sometimes they're large, sometimes they have lobes, sometimes they have serrated, sometimes there's more than three leaflet leaves on them. So make sure you have it, and that's what it is first before you go out there and spend all this time trying to rip it out.
Becky in Essex writes in to say, phlox has taken over my garden. Previous owner planted a white variety, but the garden's now filled with the pink variety found on the banks of the Winooski. These plants have a really strong root system. How do I control them while not harming the daylilies, the lady's mantle, the brown-eyed Susans that they're crowding out?
It is hard. These pink phlox, which is a species version that does spread really readily, it's a tough one to get rid of. So what I would recommend is to go through there and try to do some hand pulling, selective hand pulling. Do that at this time of year in the middle of the summer to kind of remove some of those. You're not going to get them all, but at least you're going to get a jump on them. But that also will open up spots for those other perennials you have to kind of fill in. And the more perennials you have that are filling in there, the less likely that pink-colored phlox is going to be able to kind of creep back in. And then next year, next spring, if you can identify the plant as it comes up, you try to do the same thing. Try to stay on top of it. And if you can stay on top of it, hopefully you'll be able to create a situation where the other plants crowd it out and you'll keep it out for the most part.
If you have questions, send them to us, vermontpublic.org. Search All Things Gardening. Submit your gardening question in that post and listen back to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.